I'm Valerie Smaldone. This is America Weekend, and one of my friends and guest experts on the program is Al Karabiani, who is founder of a cultural website called Culture Sonar, cool stuff to see, hear, read, and do. And this week, Al has some thoughts about how music serves as a backdrop to politics.
As the political races heat up, we'll be hearing a lot about different visions for America and nostalgia for the good old days, particularly the 50s, when, the story goes, things were more orderly. Now, we're not going anywhere near politics, but we would like to look at just one slice of the 50s, it's pop music, and see what that might tell us about our own times. The standard narrative of 50s music goes something like this. The first half of the decade was dominated by lightweight throwaways like...
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail.
And then rock and roll came along and shattered everything. As with most clichés, there's some truth in that, but the real story is a lot more complicated. Culture Sonar's Ken Himes points out that if you look at the top 200 songs of the 1950s, doo-wop and rock and roll made up much less than half the list. There's also a lot of grown-up, blues-flavored music from folks like Sarah Vaughan, Ray Charles, and Elmore James. That's quite a mix, not a one-trick pony or a cluster of cheesy teen idols. Of all the words you might use to describe Elmore James, lightweight is not one of them. Then, of course, there's rock and roll itself. It was simple music, right? Three chords and the truth, as the saying goes. Well, not so fast. First, there were the musicians themselves. They brought an unusual amount of really good baggage to the party, mixing jazz, country, swing, blues, and pop to create something completely new. For the most part, these guys could play, and they weren't afraid to go pretty far out there in their seemingly simple pop songs. Elvis Presley's incomparable musical wingman, Scotty Moore, for example, brought some genuine crazy to the king and is still influencing guitar players six decades later. And then there's Buddy Holly. A few years after Holly died in a plane crash, studio geniuses like Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, Phil Spector and his Wall of Sound, and George Martin with the Beatles would create veritable pop symphonies. But they were following in Holly's Texas bootsteps, adding classical style compositional techniques to pop.
Every day seems a little longer. Love's a little stronger, come what may. Do you ever long for true love from me? Every day it's getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey.
Time won't allow us to go on about the social commentary in Chuck Berry's lyrics, the pre-punk anarchy of Eddie Cochran, or the civil rights anticipating Sam Cooke. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. We didn't even touch on jazz giants like Miles Davis or Charlie Parker, artists like Jackson Pollock, architects like Frank Lloyd Wright, or authors like J.D. Salinger. In other words, there was a lot of action beneath the seemingly calm surface. The cool 50s gave way to the hot-tempered 60s, which in turn yielded to the more mellow 70s. So, where are we now in this hot-cold cycle, and what is today's pop music telling us about our own times? We have no choice but to stay tuned. Let us know where you think we're going next by visiting culturesonar.com or our Facebook page, commonly called Culture Sonar.
I highly recommend you check out Culture Sonar. It really is a terrific website with all kinds of commentary and great information. Thank you, Al Katabiani, founder of Culture Sonar. I'm Valerie Smaldone. Thank you for joining us. It's America Weekend. Much more coming up. America.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year made the cover of Time magazine in 1978 when he jockeyed the last Triple Crown winner named Affirm.
Affirm's been out of here, heads apart. Affirm's got a nose in front as he come onto the wire.
So where is Steve Coffin now? Despite setting numerous records early in his career, Steve left the American racing scene in 1979. The reason? Steve couldn't maintain the required riding weight. So he moved to England, where he was a leading jockey during the 1980s. Today, Steve owns a breeding farm in Kentucky, where he's hoping to raise the next Triple Crown winner. Sounds like a winner to me. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So, women, what's the toughest birthday you'll ever face? There's actually two of them, and they're called Big Zero birthdays. These are birthdays which end in zero and mark a decade of time's passing, and they're tough on your mental health. Here's the science of it. First, for women, age 30 is critical. The big zero birthday, 3-0, is when your biological clock starts to tick so loudly you think the entire world can hear it. As a result, you take stock of your mission in life. The next one is the big 5-0, 50. At this age, you really start to evaluate all you've done, all you will do, and all that you wish you would have done. What's the cheap psychological trick? Deal with these big zero birthdays, or you know what? They'll deal with you. More info at drbuff.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.